do begin.
Hey, what is up, guys? And welcome back to another episode of the Social Primate Podcast. Today, my guest is Rebecca Rodriguez, and she is better known as La Chicana Credit Boss. Straight out of Brownsville, Texas, today she joins me to help us kind of be our guide on a journey of improving our credit score, managing our finances, and just becoming more financially responsible for ourselves. The reason I wanted to have her on here is because she currently has a business doing credit repair. And the thing about credit repair is that it allows you to do some self-reflecting on your own finances, on your own spending, budgeting, so on and so forth, and gives you a better picture of where you stand in that aspect. Now, as somebody who was impacted negatively for the first couple of years going into this whole world of credit, it wasn't until later in my 20s, early 30s that I started realizing that I need to have a stable score in order to be able to meet what it means to be or living the air quote American dream, right? Buy a house, get a car. Now, in a capitalist society, that sounds awesome. Of course, if you're not into that kind of stuff, you don't really care. But at the end of the day, this is something that's going to affect you moving forward, whether you want to or not. It affects you when you're looking for an apartment, just in general for a place to live. Some workplace is required to check your credit score. You know, all these things that we normally don't think that are attached to this number are. And unless we educate ourselves or we or find it within us to take charge of this and, you know, just step up to the next level, it's going to be harder for us. And the one thing that I always want to push with this podcast is we need to make better decisions as a community. We need to educate ourselves more. And unfortunately, we have to take it into our own hands. Nobody else is going to do it for us. You know, the government's not going to do it. Our local city is not going to do it. It's up to the people. And that's why I really wanted to have this conversation. So please take this conversation as an informative one. Show it to somebody who you know is trying to work on their credit score or improve their livelihood. And just in general, just let's help each other out in whatever way we can. With that being said, I hope you guys enjoy the conversation. Today's music is brought to you by none other than Mirage himself with his song So Golden, featuring Viva Mezcal. Check it out on YouTube, find it on Spotify, give him a follow on Instagram, share the shit out of it. With that being said, guys, I hope you guys enjoy this episode and we'll see you next week.
I'm from the city where the rent hella high. LA. With the aroma in every corner, got you smelling the high. That I'm cush. Just a kid from the hood with the dream of going across the sea. Japan. On all my shit, my name with the apostrophe. Learned it was important as a little cabron. My father about to finally own the family's very first home. So it's fam over everything. Chasing all my dreams, yes, I'm living in this reverie. Uh-huh. Made it out depression, so no one could bring me down. Uh-huh. As I'm working on my music, trying to put on for my town. Uh-huh. But too many people too many. Really sleep on the east. Overlook so much history that's been made on these streets. Right. We ain't playing for fun, homie, we playing for
down
keys.
The streets, cruising with the windows open. Words on top of beats, now that's poetry in motion. Uh-huh. Turn across my face, now I'm feeling so golden. Through the highs and lows, it's the life that I've chosen.
Waking up, baby, just a little hungover. Still thinking how to come up on the day.
How to come up.
Tripping how the world's just a little fucked up. But I can't let it push me away.
Can't let it push me away.
Underground grind, that's bars and patience. Uh-huh. Hoping that my next release ain't wasted. Nah. Hoping that the lane for
all
the
right, so here we go. Hey, what is up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Social Primate Podcast. Today, my guest is none other than La Chicana Credit Boss, Rebecca Rodriguez. What is up? Thank you for making the time to come out on this.
Hey, Social Primates, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here to be a part of this. I think it's so important to just be able to talk about credit, and it's such an important part of our lives. So thank you so much for taking the time to, you know, go through my Instagram and invite me and stuff. I'm super excited to get some information out there for everybody that's wanting to hear it.
Yeah, well, again, thank you. I thought it was pretty interesting because the first time that I came across the page or your page was through La Chicana Chisme with Tori. I was listening to podcasts and I was like, you know what, this one sounds pretty interesting. Me going off a personal note here, like over the last year, and I mean, I have to admit the stimulus checks helped out, I'm just saying. But it gave me the opportunity to use that money to, instead of spending it on like just bullshit, I use it to spend it on, you know, debts that I have. And,
nice.
You know, slowly like that, I was able to raise my points by a good couple of
I'll probably say like a good 20, 30 points on my own. And I was super proud, you know, because I'm 31 now. When I was 18, I got screwed over, you know?
Like we all handed, do. It's I got the handed, 18 credit terror, I swear.
18 credit, yeah. I mean, and it's crazy. But before I get into all of that, that's why basically I got into the conversation. And I was like, you know what? This is information that I feel like a lot of our community, especially the Hispanic community, because that's who I'm around as well, you know? There's a lot of intimidation around it. There's a lot of confusion, and it can be an easy way out to get like free money. But again, if you don't know how to stabilize yourself, it's going to come bite you in the ass at some point.
Yes, definitely. And I love that you mentioned the Hispanic community, because really that's where I come from. You know, I'm Mexican American. I was born in Brownsville, Texas, and this is where I reside. And we're considered like little Mexico. We're literally the south tip of Texas, border town with Matamoros, Tamaulipas. And when I was 7 years old, my parents took us into Mexico, to the capital of Tamaulipas to live. And the past 26 years of my life, I lived there in Mexico. And then it's been about this next March will be 9 years that I'm back in the States. And, you know, as a Hispanic, I had no idea what credit was about. I just knew I got a credit card from Express at 18. I was like, boom, money, shopping's free, you know, but I had no idea how to use it. I didn't know what it was for. I didn't know there was, you know, anything like that. So I think we all go through that age where you're 18, you're legal in the United States. And there's actually a list. If y'all don't know this, here's a little info. There's actually a list. And whenever you have children, you can call and get your children off of that list so that when they turn 18, they will not be hit up by credit cards and loans.
Damn, they're waiting for you. They're just praying, huh?
It's a whole other economy.
Yeah. But and I want to get in touch. Like I said, the whole praying thing, but I think, you know, in a sense, there is some card companies that they do want to just hook you in there with their high interest rates and all these, you know, all this type of stuff with the mask that it's beneficial for you, right? But at the same time, there is those companies, and I've been aware of them, that they can actually help you out. You know, if again, you know how to handle those finances and educate yourself, you know, have some literacy around that.
And I think that's the biggest part of our culture. I grew up and my parents didn't teach me about, you know, how to budget. They didn't teach me about, you know, I just knew that sometimes there wasn't enough for certain things. But I didn't know about a budget. I didn't know about, you know, a bank account, much less about credit, you know, and credit in Mexico is so different from credit in the States. So, you know, when I got older and I started getting all this stuff, I was like, ooh, free money. Well, no, you know, it's not free money. And I think that's something that a lot of Hispanics, Mexican Americans, or even Latinos, we weren't raised understanding credit. It's kind of like we didn't have that advantage, you know. So it was kind of like a setback for us as an adult because we weren't taught how to do that, you know. I think it's something so basic to teach your children, just like cooking, just like washing their clothes. I mean, it's a basic necessity now in the United States. I mean, you can't even go out and rent an apartment if you don't have credit, you know?
Yeah, no.
So yeah. I think that it was just, that's my whole thing. We were just, it's like a setback for us. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to change that, you know, trying to get the younger community, single moms, you know, that have all this debt after divorces or after there's not two incomes coming in anymore, and just teaching them how it works, how to leverage credit to create wealth, how to control your credit and your finances instead of your credit and your finances controlling you. And that's what La Chicana Credit Boss is really all about. I want to educate, I want to help, and I want to see our community rise in their finances, open up those businesses and become the successful businessmen and women that we were destined to be, you know?
Yeah, no, and I completely agree with you. I like how you mentioned like just having the ability to be able to just, how can I say, like be responsible for ourselves at the same time, providing that information to other people, like very much like how you're doing. And again, like I mentioned to you before off air, it's like I was going through some stuff and then I decided, you know what, I have to make these changes. And I think you mentioned in Tori's episode that, and it really resonated with me, is like people aren't going to change their credit or decide to be financially responsible until they are at that, you know, against the wall, entre la pared, you know, that's probably la pared. Mm-hmm. And that's where you decide, like, holy shit, I got to be responsible for this stuff. Because, again, this makes or breaks you.
It completely does. And I think what I love saying is you got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, you got to get to that point where it's like, I'm tired of being evicted. I'm tired of not being able to get a vehicle and being denied. I'm tired of the no's. I'm tired of you're not approved. I'm tired of not enough in my bank account. I'm tired of, you know, all of this stuff. You know, I'm tired of the no's and the not approved. And that's where you have to come to a point where you say, nobody can do this for me but myself. Yes, I grew up in a Hispanic family where they did not teach me. My grandparents didn't teach my parents, and my parents didn't teach me. But you know what? We're adults, and now responsibility resides on the inside of us. You know, we have to take control, and we have to take responsibility now as adults and change that pattern and be able to teach our children, you know. So you have to get to a point where you're like, enough is enough. You know, I break the pattern here. I break the cycle here of not educating myself. You know, mistakes happen, and bad situations happen out of ignorance. If we keep ourselves in ignorance, if we don't look for facts, if we don't look for truths, if we don't look for knowledge, we're always going to be in that same place. It's up to us. So I love the fact that Social Primates, you know, what you were telling me about your podcast, what you do. I love it because, like I was telling you, we live in a society, we live in certain communities, and we don't know anything. I'm in Texas. I don't know what happens in California sometimes other than what I see on the news. And I watch very little news, by the way. And, you know, I don't know what goes on in New York. But when we get to have like these podcasts and social media, we raise awareness. And I think that's the most important thing among our community as Latinos, is to raise awareness and to make ourselves responsible for our actions. You messed up. Yeah. But there is hope. And that's the biggest thing. I love being a hope dealer for our community.
I like that. Hope dealer. People are like, wait, what? Dope. No. Hope.
No, hope dealer. Hope dealer.
No, I think it's important that it shows that this isn't a way like proof that, so you're in Texas, I'm here, but we've dealt with similar experiences with our parents or our grandparents where they didn't have that information or didn't, like, again, I was a kid. I remember, like you mentioned, like my parents were like, oh, no podemos hacer eso ahorita, or, you know, just different, approaching different things in ways that I know they could have handled it differently if they had any knowledge about it, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And I didn't learn until like my early 30s, and now I'm like, you know, trying to, it feels like I'm a race against time, you know, like I'm getting older, I need to fix my credit.
And, but, you know, I think that's how it starts. Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, go for it.
I think that's how it starts, because that's how I started with my credit journey. Really what happened was, like I said, I was 18 and I started getting hit up by Express. You know, Express sent me a credit card and I was like, yes, I have $300 to spend. Little did I know I could only use 30% of that $300 credit limit. Right. I didn't know that. I thought I had free money, you know, and nobody taught me. All of a sudden, my dad's like, you're getting collections from Express. I'm like, what's that? You know, I had no idea what that even meant. And I was like, well, I got a card and I went and I bought clothes. I thought it was like free money. And he's like, no. So he had to go pay my bill, you know, because he knew that I needed to have good credit, but he never explained why. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if he didn't know how to explain it to me, or if, you know, whatever the case may be. But then I was like, okay, well, there's such a thing as credit. I was 18. I didn't care. You know, I kept on getting other stuff, and that was it, you know. And then I lived in Mexico, got married over there. My first marriage was in Mexico. I had my three children over there, lived there with my businesses and everything. Never needed credit here. So when I finally came over here, due to all the insecurities and it just it not being safe or anything anymore over there, I brought my kids and myself over here, and I started figuring out I can't do anything without credit. Like, I'm trying to get an apartment and I can't. The only apartment I can get is like with the super sketchy landlord. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like super sketchy landlord, that they don't care about your credit and they don't care about your background, you know? So those were the places that I had to go with my kids because I had no credit. Then I started, you know, I started working and started figuring out how life was here in the States and how work and taxes and all this worked. And I got married again, you know, and then I figured out, oh, there's such a thing called credit karma. But by this time, I already had a whole bunch of stuff. I had already had a repo, you know, credit cards and just a light bill. Like, I didn't even know light went on your credit. Like, what are we talking about here? Jesus. Light on your credit? How is that even? Yeah. Like, how, what? So I started investigating on Credit Karma and I love learning different things, you know? And I was like, oh, disputing means that it can actually come off. So I didn't even know there was three credit bureaus. Like, I didn't know anything. I just knew there was this app called Credit Karma and it was showing me what was going on with my credit. And I was ready to change it because I was married and we wanted to get, you know, a vehicle. We wanted to do all this. So I started working on me and my ex-husband's credit. So once I do that, I see the points raising. Like you said, it's so exciting to see, oh, this got deleted. I went up 50 points. And then, you know, then I hit my credit like 20 times trying to buy a vehicle and my points went down like 43 points again. And I'm like, what? Why? All I did was try to see my credit. I didn't understand everything about credit. So I left it at that. You know, I hit another divorce. And, you know, I tell people life happens, you know, life happens. And a lot of times your credit goes through the ringer with you, you know.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about credit, and this is the part that I love, and I love telling people this because I get so many clients that tell me there's no hope, like, go ahead and check, you know, we'll do the free credit consultation, but I got a foreclosure on there. I got a bankruptcy on there. Like, I got like three repos. Like, this dude, he left me and he said he was going to help me pay and there's like nothing, or vice versa. I have several clients that are men and they're like, you know, she had all my information, you know, us as women, sometimes we administer the finances. He's off working and we do all the payments and we do all the stuff, you know? And when they got the divorce, she went and hit up his credit, got all these loans out. And now he has terrible credit with hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt. And the thing I'm telling you I love about credit is that you have a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chance at credit. And that's what I love, because there's always hope for your credit. And I love letting people know, you know what, after 7 years, it's gone, girl. Like, it's not going to be there no more. So it's, you know, that's how I got into credit, by problems, by getting myself into credit problems and trying to figure my way out. October of 2019, I was introduced to my software that I now use. And I just was working for somebody else, you know, and I've always done great at sales. I love sales. And I was in Maryland for 8 days and I was away and I missed a really important family affair and stuff. And I was like, what am I doing? I just landed my boss like hundreds of thousands of dollars and I'm making $12 an hour.
Fuck.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it was just something on the inside of me that said, what are you doing? Like, you were born for so much more. Get on it. You know, do you want to start? You got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. And this goes for everything in life, you know? And that's where I took a stand. I said, aunque lo haga con miedo, lo voy a hacer. And I stepped out, I talked to my boss and I told her, you know what? It's not for me. Like, I love what I do and I know I'm capable of doing it, but I know I'm capable of so much more. And I've been wanting to open a business and I have something already. And I had already been like contacting different clients and I had already gotten like about 4 or 5 clients. And I was like, I'm just going to run with it, you know?
Yeah.
So I started with a free trial. And from there, I was working on my own credit, you know, and I started with the free trial and I said, okay, how many clients do I need in order to pay for next month's software? You know, that's exactly how I did it. I started my business in October of 2019. I legally structured it in March of 2020 because I had to buy a bond. I had to, you know, get all these, I had to get bonded and legally structured by the state of Texas and just all these things and all these expenses. But once I was able to do that, I wasn't homeless anymore. You know, I was able to put a roof over my kid's head. I was able to buy myself a vehicle. I fixed my credit. You know, I was able to get a reliable vehicle for my children. Listen, I've had the jankiest cars ever. You know, I've been through it. I was able to get credit cards. Like, my whole life changed when I was able to say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm going to do what I got to do. And I'm going to change my credit life and my financial life. And from there, when I got on track with what I was supposed to be doing, it's like everything that was assigned to my life just started adding on, just without me looking for it. You know, it just started. And in, what was it, April of 2020, I was at 120 clients already.
Fuck, damn, that is it's a huge increase.
It's a huge increase. I went from abused, broken, and miserable and super broke to a six-figure woman in a year. And it was all just learning how to leverage your credit. It was all just mindset, you know, your mind, putting it in the right place, making sure that what you want is what you're going for, and putting in that hard work. And everything that's assigned to you will add onto your life. And that's how my credit repair business started, by my own difficulties and struggles in life, you know? And that's how, you know, I was like, okay, how do I do this? Who am I? Now I'm looking for my niche, you know? And that's where La Chicana Credit Boss came. And she started making her way into people's lives. And, you know, like I told you, people will call me from different states because I have clients all over the United States, and they'll tell me, can I speak to La Chicana? And I'm like, that's so cool. You know, I was homeless and now, you know, people know La Chicana. So, you know, and my favorite part about this credit journey and this business journey is being able to share with people that you don't have to stay where you are. This isn't just about credit. This is about you internally and in your mind. You know, you have to make a change. If your mind is not there, I tell my clients, you have to start acting like an 800 credit score. You can't keep on acting like a 500 girl. You know, what do 800 credit scores do? They don't spend out of emotion. Mm-hmm. They don't max out their cards. They don't ask for loans everywhere. And, you know, they make their payments on time. I said, you got to start acting like an 800. Your mind has to get there before you physically get there.
Yeah. No. It's true. The mindset is everything. Like, I kind of want to touch base on the whole thing. Like, you know, kind of going back to a little bit to my experience, I ended up getting 4 credit cards when I was 18. Fucking Best Buy, Fry's, I had a bunch of electronic stores. So I was happy, you know?
Yeah.
Point is, then, you know, you go to school. Then school was like, hey, you got to pay for this much for this year. And it's like, okay. And then I gave up school. So now I'm still in debt. And it kind of just kept biting me in the ass. And it's kind of funny because now I look at my credit score and from, you know, it's logged off from fucking 12 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
And you can kind of see like my life, my financial life in a glimpse, you know, like, oh, fuck, I was doing so bad in these first 8 years, you know. And it wasn't until last year when, again, I decided that I needed to make some changes in my life. And a lot of them came, yes, a little bit like right when the pandemic was starting. It's like, fuck, people are losing jobs. Like, I should be grateful that I have a job. I can't be spending stupid things now. You know, it's necessities. And, you know, then they start giving out free money. So it's like my mentality switched from, man, they give me, what was it, $1,200 or something. Instead of buying fucking stuff that's just going to waste in a couple of months, you know, let me fix something. Let me use it towards something that I know I've been putting in the back burner for so long and just pay it off, you know? And since then, I've just seen an improvement. Again, people at some point, they start offering you things again, like, hey, you're getting better. So they give you this credit card.
Yeah.
But now you're a little smarter. Now you know that you could use, like you mentioned earlier, I was confused at the whole 30% out of the entire card balance. Like, I was like, what? That makes no sense to me. And like, why can't I spend the whole amount?
Yeah. Like, why give it to me then?
Now, what is the reasoning behind that? Like, is there a reason why they look at that in terms of your behavior?
Well, here's the thing. And this is what I tell people during my consultations. I answer all these questions and any other questions that my clients may have. But what I tell them is this: your credit score, because they're like, I need my credit score to be an 800 or a 700. And I'm like, listen, okay, yeah, we do need a great credit score, but also the credit score is as important as what is reflecting on your credit report. You can be a 700 and have a foreclosure. Why? Because those credit amounts, like the age of that account, that's even if it's negative, it's still calculating in your score. But you think you're going to get approved with a 700 credit score and a foreclosure on there to get another house? No. So we have to have the score, but we have to look responsible on our credit report. Your credit report is like your child's report card, is what I tell my clients.
You don't want to see that if it's bad.
So what do you see with the credit cards? If you're using and you're maxing out all the time your credit cards, when you go to a mortgage company, they're going to ask you to bring all those down to less than 30% because your debt to income ratio is sky high. You know, why is it not good? Because you're a risk. Now you're a risk that, well, why did she have to use all the $300 we gave her of credit limit? You know, why is she asking for more credit if she's maxed out? You know, it's just all these things. We have to look responsible. We have to act responsible. So that's pretty much the reason why it's so bad, because it calculates the riskiness of yourself as a consumer.
When they don't tell you this when you're applying for it, for the most part, it's just like, hey, here's the money. This is your percentage. You're going to be paying on interest. Boom, boom, boom. And then that's it. And then it's still later on. You're like, oh, shit, I should have only used $30. Or you said, what, 10%? Is that
30%? 30%. So like for every $100, you can use $30. For every $1,000 of credit limit, you can use $300. Now, people that have exceptional credit use between 1 and 10% of their credit limits.
That's like a small purchase, and we're super small.
Yeah, a lot of people, and what I tell my clients is, you're going to get a card, but you're going to put Netflix on it. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, okay, so credit cards are not an emergency fund.
They're not.
Like, you cannot use them for that, because your credit is going to get shot if you hit those and max them out. So what you're going to do is you're going to put, we need revolving credit. There's so many factors. Oh my gosh, we could do like a 3-hour episode, but there's so many factors that calculate your credit score and your credit report. One of them is 35% of your score is made up of how much credit limit you're using. So how much debt you have. 35% of your score, that's a big amount.
So that means that basically, like, let's say you have a total amount debt of, let's say, 20,000. You have to have, what was it? It was like a ratio, right?
Yeah. So for every, for 10,000, it would be 3,000. For 20,000, that would be $6,000 that you can use off of that $20,000 credit limit.
Damn.
You go over and your score is going to go down big time. So your score will drop so much. That's why a lot of people tell me, what can I do to get my credit score up really fast? And everybody wants really fast. I'm like, listen.
Of course.
I do credit repair, not credit magic. Okay. First of all. So this is a process. Now I go through every client's credit report. I will never start services with you if I have not seen what is on your credit report. I won't do it. Why? Because not all money is good money. Okay. And what I do is I see, you know, are your collections past 2 years? I do a whole credit audit on your credit report. And I send you a credit action plan. And I tell people, this is teamwork. Teamwork makes the dream work. Okay. So you're going to work on your side, bringing down those credit cards. When they bring down those credit cards and they do their part, and I'm disputing and deleting on my side, man, the first month is amazing. We've had over 300 point score boosts in a month. Yeah. Why? Because we're deleting, but you're also doing what you have to do. If you don't have any revolving credit, I'm telling you exactly what to add. I'm sending you a list with instructions and links and everything, and telling you, you know, start working. Yeah. Credit is not going to fix itself. You got to do it. So I will send you a credit action plan. If there's anything that you need to negotiate and pay off, I tell you how to do it. I send you phone numbers and everything else. And I send you a credit booster list. And that credit booster list, you better get on it, because in order to calculate a score, there has to be something there. If I start deleting all these negative accounts, where are we going to calculate from if you have nothing on there?
Right. Yeah. There's no, like you said, like that positive change showing them. Yeah, yep. Interesting, because I remember at some point I had somebody from collections call me, you know, they're obviously just trying to make something happen. Eventually I was like, okay, I think at some point you mentioned something about the disputing earlier. Uh-huh. I forgot how I came across that information, but I ended up reaching out to the collection agency and I just said like, hey, you know what? I want to find a way of, I don't know if I did the right thing, but I know I went ahead and did it. And I was like, hey, I want to settle with this, or I want to get it removed off my, my collections, my credit report. And I was surprised that, at least for this particular company, they were like, okay, cool. And I was like, what? Like, I've been dragging this collections things for like 3 years, and I could have just called them and been like, hey, I need to do this part. And they worked with me, you know? Yeah. I don't know. I can't, it's not a testament to all the credit card collection companies, but that particular one, I was like, oh shit. You know, yeah. And it gave me confidence in really trying to figure out like, hey, I can take care of this. You know, I can reach out to some of these. Of course, it doesn't be having somebody else help you out and guide you through it. But, you know, it's, if you want to do it, you're going to find the information. You're going to find a way to get that.
Definitely. And I do have some clients that are like, you do everything. I'm like, we're not going to be a good fit. I've told clients, you know what? They've got the money. They want to pay and everything. I'm like, we're not a good fit. Why? Because you want me to do everything and I'm going to do your credit. And I never want to see you back here again because of bad credit, because that means I didn't do my job correctly. And I did not educate my client correctly to keep their credit in a good place. So yeah. I won't work with you. Like, if you are not dedicated to better yourself, we're just wasting our time and you're wasting your money. I'm very upfront with my clients. Like, I'm just like, I'm very serious about what I do because I've been there. You know, I've been there and I know what it takes. And if you don't have that mindset yet, I can help you, but I cannot change your mindset. You know?
Yeah, of course.
I can't do that. I can't do that for you. So, you know, save your money. When your mindset is where it needs to be, let's go for it. If not, and you're not willing to put in discipline, hey, it's hard to not go out and eat and put it on a credit card, you know? Like, oh, yeah. I have $300 here. Let's go, you know, eat something.
Just
swipe it. But, you know, we have to come to understand that if we don't discipline ourselves, if we don't do something different, we're never going to get different results, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I go into all of this with my clients. I teach them the importance of credit. I teach them, okay, they're like, well, I'm going to get into all this debt. I'm like, no, you're not. So here's what you're going to do, because I have several accounts that you have to put on your credit report if you don't have them already, right? Because a good mix of credit is 10% of your score. So they don't want to see all these retail cards, you know? They want to see that you have an installment loan, that you have, you know, revolving credit, just all these, a mortgage, a vehicle, you know, they want to see that you are able to leverage and balance out and be responsible for several different types of accounts monthly.
Okay. That's actually interesting to know.
Yes. So here's the thing, and I'm going to put it like this. And this is what I tell my clients. Let's say that I come to you and I tell you, hey, I like the house that you're selling. It's worth $200,000. I want the bank to lend it to me, you know? Mm-hmm. And I go to the bank and I ask them for $200,000, but I have, you know, no proof of how I can pay it back. All I have on my credit report is like really bad stuff that I never paid. And then I only have like little tiny things, like a $300 credit card, you know, and that's like my only open account. I'm like, look, if you want a mortgage, you wouldn't lend anybody money, $200,000, if you see that they're not responsible and they've had really poor choices in their credit and their finances. You would not, no le sueltas los 200 mil dólares, you know, you won't do it. So the bank is the same way. You want to see that these people can, you know, make the money. You want to see that they can pay it back, that they have a good track history of paying back stuff, that they can juggle several accounts and not just little $300 credit cards, that they have installment loans, that they have that vehicle loan that's like $20,000, you know, that they're being able to pay all this stuff. So we have to make you look responsible in the eyes of the creditors that are going to loan you this money. And that's what credit is all about. So go get that little finance loan that I'm telling you about. Maybe the first time they won't give you $1,000. Maybe they'll only give you $100. Why? The places that I send you to build credit, they don't hit your credit score. Okay. They'll lend it to you. They're called credit builders. That's what they do. They help you build credit. So they won't put an inquiry on there. Okay. They don't go based off your credit because they know it's already shot. So what they do is they lend you $100. And I tell my client, okay, so with this $100, we're going to start learning how to use loans. You're going to split it. $50, you're going to keep it in your bank account for the next two payments of that loan. Mm-hmm. And the other $50, you're going to buy something and you're going to sell it and you're going to make more money off of it. And that's how you use your loans. Okay. Make sure it makes money for you. And this is where it comes that I love teaching people how to leverage their credit to create wealth. Okay. Most people that build hotels, that build this, that build that, that have these businesses, they don't use their own money. They go to a bank, they get some credit, they build their business. And then what happens? They sell and then they pay it off. Never touch their bank account. They only made a profit off of the credit. And that's what I want to teach these people, you know, our community, that it is possible. You don't have to have money to flip. You can actually go get credit, but you do have to have good credit yourself, because you will have to be placed as a personal guarantee the first 2 years of your business. So, I mean, there's just so much that goes into credit.
I know, I'm just like mind blown right now.
Yeah.
So, it's just, I mean, it just seems like there's a lot of things. And this is exactly why I wanted to have this conversation, because this is things that people don't know of, you know, and then it's just, they just assume like, I need to pay every month. I need to spend the minimum amount and boom, I'm done. Yep. You know, it's like a lot of people aren't, I think, what is it? Free credit report gives you like, I think before it was like a year free or what was it? They let you check it once for free or something.
Yeah. Once a year. Now during COVID, you can check it like every week or something like that, every month. The only thing about that is they don't give you your scores. Okay. So they won't give you your scores, that you can only see what's on your report, what's being reported. So what I do is I tell people this: if you work with me, you have to have credit monitoring. Credit monitoring is like an X-ray into your credit. It will every month tell us what was deleted, or if anything was added, like a new collection, if anything was updated of late payments, if any inquiries came off, and how your score is going up or down. If we don't have that, then we cannot do credit repair. It's like shooting in the dark. I can send out letters and stuff, but we won't know what's happening. We have to monitor your credit. And they're like, it's $24.95. I'm like, bruh, you pay HBO, you pay Netflix, you pay Amazon Prime, you pay all this. I literally will go, and I have some clients that I will go all the way into their finances. They trust me for that. I go all the way into their finances, send them a budget sheet, and we start deleting all these little Ipsy boxes and all these little makeup boxes that they get and all these little dog treat boxes. I'm like, girl, come on, you know, your dog doesn't need that. Give him a cookie. Yeah. So, you know, we start getting rid of all this money that's just, they don't know where it's going. And now what I do is we monitor their credit. Now they're able to afford it. Okay. $24.95. And then I do the credit action plan for them, and we start putting all their debt into snowball, like a snowball effect. So from the smallest to the largest, once you finish paying this one off, now you can make two payments and you keep on paying the other ones. And now you're getting rid of debt and you're getting rid of debt. And when it comes to collections like yours, just to hit that topic, once, let's say that you have a Chase card, okay? Mm-hmm. You defaulted on it. It went into collections, and Chase sold it off to a collection company. Okay. For pennies on the dollar. So that collection company, I don't know, Portfolio Recovery, Jefferson System, whatever, you know, a collection company came and bought it off. Chase can legally report for 7 years on your credit report. Okay.
After they've done that move.
After it's gone, after it's been closed out, charged off, everything, 7 years. Mm-hmm. If Chase decides to sell it, okay, if they decide to sell it, the company that buys it will open up a new account and it'll hit your credit report again as a brand new account. Oh, and the 7 years will restart that it can legally be on your credit report.
Damn.
Those collection companies that bought off will sell it to another collection company, and those 7 years restart. And it's a vicious cycle. That's why I tell people, you know, if you don't settle sometimes, then that vicious cycle won't stop. And that's where I come in to do credit repair legally, right?
Yeah.
What I do is they have to be in compliance. They have to be in compliance. There's laws that back us up as consumers. The FCRA law says that if they are not reporting accurately, all their dates, their balances, everything has to be on point. If not, they have to delete it.
Yeah.
Okay. From your credit report. Now, I can't go into Chase's computer system and delete your debt, obviously. Right. So they can still sell that. But what I do is I go the extra mile and I tell them, okay, you have to be in compliance. Do you have a contract legally signed by me? And I need you to send that to me. It's my right as a consumer. Send me my contract. If you don't have it, you cannot collect. We can go before a judge and the judge is going to ask you, show me the contract where Ms. Rodriguez owes you. They're going to be like, well, we don't have one. You're wasting my time. Get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, so they have to be in compliance. So there are laws that back us up as consumers that help us get rid of debt that, yes, it is ours. But since they're not in compliance, guess what? They have to delete it and they have to delete it from their system also. So that's where I come in to do credit repair legally. And I send them, you know, the law in the letters that I send out and I tell them, hey, show me a contract. You know, let's say that they do have it. If they do have this contract, I'm going to call in. I'm going to tell you, hey, they have the contract, buddy. We're going to have to settle with them.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Right.
So that's where it comes in, where I tell you exactly how to do it. I can't call them for you, but I guide you and I teach you what to say. Yeah. And let's say you owe $500. They sent us the contract. I'm going to tell you, okay, you're going to call them. You're going to tell them, how much do I owe you without late fees and without interest? Well, from 500, it goes down to 350. Okay. What's the least I can pay you from those 350? Well, give me 210 and we'll call it even.
Yeah.
So we settle for 210 and instead of 500, we paid 210. So I help you dispute and delete and make sure everything is in compliance, but also I teach you how to get rid of debt and it never come back on your credit report again.
And you said it's not magic, but it sounds like magic.
It's just the law. And, you know, if we go into reading, listen, I have spent, because I've put my whole life into this lately, you know, and there's so many rights that we have as consumers and we don't know
them. Exactly.
We don't know them. Collection companies, they can only call you once a month. And if they call you at your work, if you feel harassed by them, you can actually sue them and get $1,000 for each thing that they did against you.
What?
Yeah. And you get a consumer protection attorney and you can take the bureaus or you can take collection companies or original creditors to court.
Yeah. Oh my God. And see, this is awesome because again, I'm a first generation Mexican American. You know, my parents just came in here. They had no idea what the laws or the regulations were for anything coming into this country. I just grew up around it. And it's not now until like I'm reading into things that like, holy shit, we have protections. You know, there's consumer laws.
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody knows this.
No.
I mean, I'm sure some people do. I'm not, you know, whatever. But I didn't know that. And I know there's a lot of people who are still like right now are like, what? You know, like I can... Like you said, with the credit stuff, you have not just one chance. You have 2, 3, 4, 5. You can have as many chances as you want.
Yep.
If, again, you know how to be responsible and you know how to start taking these things by the horns, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's just determination, seeking truth. You know, I'm a big truth seeker. I want fairness. You know, I want justice. And I love the fact that in credit, credit creates our financial future. And a lot of people are like, well, I like to pay cash. I've gotten a lot of people are like, well, I pay cash. I'm like, good luck paying $250,000 for a house. I don't have that, you know?
Yeah.
And most people I know cannot pay $250,000 cash. If you can do that, that's amazing. But most
kudos
people
to you.
Need to help get it with credit, you know? Yeah. And that's just the country that we live in, you know, the society that we live in. That's the economy that we live in. We need credit to function. I hate the fact that in schools, and here I'm going to get into like, not politics or anything, but just, you know, why don't they teach our children this? Why are we teaching them all these other things, which I'm not saying they're not important, but really when it comes down to a basic life, like the basic necessities of life, they don't know how to budget. They don't know that credit even exists. Like, imagine having taken a whole course on credit as an elective, even just put it as an elective, man, you know?
Yeah.
Give them the chance to get out of high school and college and not have a setback already of debt, like student loans. Teach them. Don't just tell them, go and sign the waiver and that you did. They don't read it. I didn't read it, you know?
Yeah, they just sign and just, it's fucked up.
Yeah, and then I had party money, you know, when I was in college. I was like, ooh, everything's paid for and I have like $700 left. And, you know, I got in debt and I didn't even finish college. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't even do that. But I wish that our community and more people would try to, and the schools would just take this on as an elective and teach our kids how to go out into the real world with real tools, you know, with tools that are actually going to help them in their everyday life, how to balance your, you know, how to budget yourself, how to balance your bank account, how to use your credit, how to go and buy a vehicle. People get screwed over all the time. I got screwed over all the time. You know, I would go and give them my little, I'm a single mom and, you know, I need the car because it's breaking down. They didn't care. They were out there to make a couple $1,000 on their car sale. So now what I'm doing is I have people that I send my clients to, you know, that I know are going to take care of their credit. So I have a loan officer and all the mortgages that if somebody needs a house, I will send them directly to her and she'll be like, they need this and this and this and this taken off. And if that's all they want, then we get them ready for a house. I won't send them anywhere else. Car sales. I tell the people that I work with, I'm sending you this woman. She's a single mom or a single dad and they need the help, or they're a family that they're, you know, they're barely building their credit. They don't need nobody screwing them over. If you screw them over, we're done. I'm not sending you anybody else. So I make sure that I tell people, I don't just dispute and delete your collections. I literally try to help you in all your finances and get you on track with a good vehicle, with a good home and everything else, so that you can be set and learn what it takes and how to buy that vehicle, how to purchase that home, and how to keep your credit intact.
Yeah. And then it just helps you make smarter choices moving forward. You know, that's all you can really seek from somebody, especially a client. Like you said, if they come back weeks, months, years later, and they're like, hey, I need your help again. So you didn't really do your, like you said, your part. And you know, of course, the responsibility always falls on the person themselves, because, you know, you're not getting it through your head. You know, you really don't want these things and or these changes. And like you mentioned, without it, I think I read a report somewhere that I think like almost half the population of Americans wouldn't have more than enough emergency funds for more than 3 months or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy shit, that's fucked up. You know, that means that people are struggling. And again, this is where credit comes into. Of course, people are like, well, make sure you're smart about it, because credit cards can be, air quotes, bad. But it's that extra, I want to say extra money, because it's not extra money, but it's just the ability to, like you said, leverage yourself, leverage your financial status.
And, you know, there are instances where I will sit down with the family and I'll tell them, okay, look, I can help you just dispute and delete, but if you really want to go full force into this thing called credit and finances, let's do it, guys. And we will literally sit there and I'm like, y'all need an extra job. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, for a couple of months to get rid of this debt, you're going to need an extra job. Sell cakes, vende taquitos, do something. You know, bring in some, you're going to be tired. I know you have a full-time job and you have three kids, but you got to do something different to get different results. Right now, we're dealing with this. Like, you cannot keep on doing the same thing and expect something different to happen in your life. You've got to change something.
Yeah. I mean, there's a quote that says that.
Yeah. You know, and I tell them, yes, it's insanity. Doing the same thing, expecting different results is called insanity. And, you know, that's why I say when you start credit repair, you need to understand that there's discipline. You're going to have to educate yourself or you're going to be back. You know, you're going to be back with me. Then there's this whole other thing of scoring systems. You know, it's so unfair that everybody has a different scoring system. And you're like, what? Yes. So the bureaus throw a scoring system called Vantage Scores. Okay. Mm-hmm. But when you go to a dealership, the bank institution takes a FICO score.
Yeah, FICO score, yeah.
Yeah, so there's FICO 2, FICO 8, FICO 10. They want to do a FICO 20. I mean, there's all these kinds of FICO, FICO 4, FICO 5, FICO Auto, FICO Mortgage. I'm like, could we just keep it at one scoring system? Why does it have to be so difficult, you know?
I know, you have like 10 different scores, and you're like, which one's the average?
I'm like, how is that even? So what we do, people are like, well, what do we do? I'm like, okay, what we do is the scores that the bureaus throw at us, those are the ones that we're going to concentrate on to make sure that we get them as high as possible, okay? To make sure that we have the correct positive accounts on there, on your credit report, that we get enough on-time payments. We need to make sure that we get everything negative taken off. You know, it's not, I tell people, if you do credit repair, just get me to be able to get approved for my house. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Like everybody gets to, I can't change everybody, you know? But I'm like, why don't we go the extra mile? If you're already paying for credit repair, let's clean up your whole credit report, you know, get whatever can be taken off and make sure that you get the best interest rate on your mortgage, not just the panzazo, you know, like, oh, I got like a 28% on my mortgage. I'm like, you should have stayed renting, you know,
yeah, fix that up. And
yeah,
the panzazo. So, I love that.
I mean, there's just, you know, so many things. Another one, there's so many things that are unfair in credit. Another one is your zip code. If you don't if you don't, and I mentioned this in the other podcast, but if you don't live in a nicer area of the United States, your credit score is going to be lower. So they determine your credit score by your race. They determine your credit score if you're male or female, your age, and your zip code. So a lot of people, what they do is they buy virtual addresses in Houston, nicer areas in Austin, New York, etc. And they live in little Brownsville, you know, little Mexico. Yeah. But their credit score will go up because their zip code is in a different place.
Dude, you know, it's funny that you bring that up because I think I've actually pulled it up right now. Like a few days ago, there was a report about there's like biases hidden in mortgage approvals, I think over the last couple of years. And it was showing that people, you know, whether they were white, in this case, let's say white in a like multiracial family, same credit scores, almost same income and all that stuff. But the white person or the white statistics are higher in terms of approvals. And it's like, what? Like, we know if they're matching up, there's still that discrimination going on there.
Big time, big time. Yeah. I mean, I know I've put some posts up in Instagram where you can see the percentage of approvals between Hispanics, Blacks, and, you know, whites. It's insane. Asians, you know, there's just all these cultures, and it's just, you know, how is that even possible? How are you going to judge somebody's credit score and approval rates by their background, by their culture, by their color, by their race? You know, I mean, it's like, it blows my mind. Blows my mind.
Yeah. And that's when it becomes a little disheartening when people are like, well, I mean, what's the point? You know, I'm not going to get, you know, everybody wants a house. Nobody wants to rent forever, but you know, it's like, oh, I'm not going to get a house because I can do this. I mean, maybe there's those cases, you know. But for the most part, you know, it's discouraging when you hear stories like this, where you hear that there's, you know, apparently there's no systematic discrimination against it, apparently, right, based on the research. But the results show different things, you know, and it's, again, discouraging. And then you don't even know about the credit stuff. So you're just like, fuck it, I'm just going to rent for the rest of my life until I'm old as fuck.
Yeah.
You know, and so on and so forth. But.
And that's, you know, that's sad. The beauty of this business venture, business journey, I call it, that I took on, that I've been through it, and now I'm able to tell people how to get through it also. Yeah. You know, so I feel it like my life calling. You know, I take this so seriously, because if I was called to do anything in life, if I was designed to do anything in life, it's to help people get out of the ruts that they're in, you know, to bring hope. Like I said, be a hope dealer and bring hope to these people that feel like, I've had women that come up and, you know, I'm doing the credit consultation and they tell me, my husband left me for someone as young as you. And I'm like, okay, like they've got stuff okay. going on. I'm like their credit counselor and their therapist, man. Because <Yeah. laughs> it's so connected. Your credit is so connected to all your decisions in life, you know, that yeah. divorce, that what is it called? That sickness in the family, you know, some people are hit with terminal illnesses and all their money goes to that, you know, loss of jobs during COVID. Sometimes it's not even your fault. And yet we're still disciplined over, you know, stuff that life hits us with. And yeah. it's so unfair. And that's where I like to come in and tell them, hey, chill out. You know, there's hope. We may have to work a little harder, but it can get done. Like it can be done and you can be on top of your credit and controlling it instead of it controlling you. And that's really what yeah. La Chicana Credit Boss is all about. You know, yes, of course I make a living off of this, but my biggest reward is seeing these people have a total life turnaround.
Yeah, no, of course. And it's, you know, when somebody says like, oh, to get this fast, but you're like, it's going to take us 6 months or a year, 2 years, maybe 7 years for them to clear out everything else. But you got to think about it. Like that time frame is still going to pass by whether you're fixing your credit or you're not fixing your credit.
Yeah.
So why not just do it now? You know, why not take the chance to start doing it now? Because again, yeah. at the end of the day, it's a little sacrifice. You got to make those sacrifices. You got to, like in this case, you're basically a trailblazer. You know, you went through the hard stuff. You went through your lows and you learned and you came out of it. And you're like, you know what? I know this. I feel confident about it. I'm going to help other people in the same place.
That's all
yeah. we can really do as like as la gente, you know, as yeah. a people.
And here's the good news. You know, here's the good news about this. If you have sucky credit, if your credit sucks, okay, and you feel like there's no hope, yes, it can take a year. It won't take 7 years. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it may take 2 years. It depends on how many collections and stuff you have on there, you know. If you have to settle with certain things, well, you have to have the economy, the finances to be able to settle. You know, that's where the extra job comes in. It won't take 7 years. It depends on how much you can work with financially, you know, to pay off. If you have a repo and it's less than 2 years here in the state of Texas, if you have a repo, let's say with Nissan, Nissan has 2 years here in the state of Texas to sue you and take you to court to get a legal structured payment plan. Okay. If those 2 years pass, you can start disputing and they cannot sue you at all. People get really scared at the word sue. I'm like, chill out. You know, sometimes they don't even show up and it defaults in your favor, you know, because they always think that the consumer's not going to show up because everybody's afraid of going to court. You know, they think mm-hmm. you're going to go to jail. You're not going to go to jail. So for anybody hearing this, if you have gotten sued by a collection company, show up in court. They have to have a contract. Ask them for the contract. You know, they have to be in compliance. Sometimes they don't take the paperwork because they think that you're not going to show up. And when you don't show up, they legally win and they place a judgment on your credit report. Show up to that court date, guys. Show up.
For real.
Another thing, yeah. Another thing is, what was I going to tell you? It won't take that long. You know, it won't take that long. If you have to settle with a repo, then I had a repo that went from $11,000 to $9,000 to $6,000. And when I called him and told him, hey, I need to settle. And that was a result of not being irresponsible. It was a result of leaving an abusive relationship, you know, and we had built a construction company together and I had to walk away. My piece was more important. And there's many people out there like that. It's not because of irresponsibility. It's because I didn't have a job to pay for my truck anymore and it was under my name. So yeah. I had to turn it in. You know, and now I have to deal with the results of my decision. It went from $11,000 to $3,000. Once I paid it off, it was off, you know, paid for less than the full balance. But whenever a company opens up my credit report, it looks like I paid it off, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is hope. I've gotten foreclosures off. I've gotten bankruptcies off. I mean, I've gotten people that thought there was no hope. given them hope. So, I mean, if you're listening to this and you feel like there's no hope, I just want to tell you today that there is hope. There is hope. You don't have to be a millionaire to have amazing credit. You just have to get the right knowledge. You have to get with the right people. Be very careful. And I don't know if you're ready to end, but I'm going to, you know, this is something really important that I want to say. Get with the right people to do your credit. We get really bad fame as credit repair companies because there are a lot of people out there that take people's money, charge them thousands, and don't do anything for them.
Yeah.
Okay. So when I tell my clients, I'm like, look, shop around. If you think my prices are really high, which they're not, if you think my prices are really high, then girl, shop around, you know, and I'm just going to give you a couple of tips. And these tips are for y'all also listening to Social Primates. And here they go. First tip is, if anybody tells you that they're going to get you to an 800 credit score, they're lying. Run really fast. Nobody can get you to an 800 credit score if you've had really crappy credit. Why? Because it takes years of amazing credit and no late payments to get you to an 800. Nobody can do that for you. Okay. They can get you to a high 700s, but an 800 is a totally different story. Two, nobody can tell you that they're going to have you sipping hot cocoa in 3 to 4 months or by December in your brand new house. Nobody can calculate that. Okay. Run really fast. If anybody can tell you in 3 months, I'll have you at a 752 credit score. It's not going to happen. They're lying. Why? Because there's so many factors that go into credit. We're disputing and deleting, taking out negative accounts. You're adding positive accounts. And sometimes the bureaus stall. That means that they will, you send out your letters with the ID and with the proof of address, and they'll send a letter back because they have a time frame of 30 days. And they'll send a letter back saying you didn't send your ID. We just lost a whole month. Okay.
Damn. Uh-huh.
So now we have to say, no, yes, you did receive it. Here it goes again. We just lost a month. So nobody can predict what they're going to say. Mm-hmm. We can send the law and we can, that's where complaints go in and all this other stuff that we do. So run really far if somebody tells you that in a couple of months, you'll be at a certain place. Another one is if anybody's charging you $4,000 up front, and they haven't done anything for you yet, run really far. Do not give your money to anybody like that. Don't do it. You know, I do a monthly plan because I like people to say, you know what, Rebecca, I hated working with you. You know, you suck at what you do. Hey, you know, that's your prerogative. That's fine. You can decide if you like to work with me or not. And that's why my month, it's a monthly. You pay, I work. You don't pay, I don't work. Very easy, you know. What is another thing that they asked me? What credit score are you going to get me to? I can't calculate that. If you've got late payments, you've got inquiries. If you, I don't know where you live, you know, your zip code. I mean, there's so many factors that go into it. If anybody tells you I'll get you to a 752, run. Nobody can calculate that. Nobody can do that. So, you know, keep this in mind when you're looking for a credit repair company. If anybody, if it sounds too good to be true, and they say, you don't have to pay any collections, run. You know, there are certain things that we do have to settle. We have to take responsibility for certain things. But there are people that do a good job. Not just me. There are other people, you know, that do great jobs with the credit, with repairing credit.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. And, you know, it's at the end, it's you're educating too. So it's not just like you're just feeding off of, you know, everybody and stuff, you know. And like you said, there is companies who get that rap. That's why people are like, nah, I'd rather stay away from that. But again, it just depends. Just doing your research, and that's what I like to push on this podcast. Just do your own research. Like, don't put yourself just in one. Put your eggs, all your eggs, in one basket. You know, just look around, and then once you're ready, then decide what you think is better for you. You know, and once you do something,
call the thing. Intuition. Use that gut intuition is what I tell people. Like with your doctor, if you have good chemistry with that person, you click, and they rub you the right way. That's where you're supposed to be.
Yeah. Man, well, Rebecca, thank you so much for making the time to do this. People, everybody, this was your friendly neighborhood hope dealer, that you kind of credit boss.
Thank you so much for listening to me. Listen, I can go on and on, but I really appreciate what I've been able to, you know, talk about. And I hope, you know, I know that things don't happen just because. I know there's a reason. I know there's people listening to this that have lost hope. that have gone through the divorces, have gone through the severe illnesses in their family, have lost loved ones, and they feel like there's no hope for their finances. And I'm just here, and every podcast I love to say this, I'm here to give you hope and let you know that there is hope for your credit and your finances. Don't lose hope. Reach out and let's do something together.
Beautiful, beautiful. If people want to find you, if they want to communicate with you, what's the best way to reach you?
I'm on Instagram and I'm on Facebook. So Instagram, my tag is La Chicana Credit Boss, and Facebook, it's the same.
Awesome. Well, I hope everybody listening, I hope you learned a little bit about this topic today. And, if you have any questions, I hope you reach out to her directly so you can make sure that, you get the information you need. And, best luck to everybody here. We all need to rise up together.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I wish everybody great finances and great credit.
Yeah. Thank you again, Rebecca. And I hope this is not the last time we have a communication.
I know. Thank you.
Bye-bye. In every corner, got you smelling the high. I'm just a kid from the hood with the dream of going across the sea. Own all my shit. My name with the apostrophe. It was important as a little cabron. My father about to finally own the family's very first home. So it's fam over everything. Chasing all my dreams. Yes, I'm living in this reverie. Uh-huh. Made it out depression, so no one could bring me down. Uh-huh. As I'm working on my music, trying to put on for my town. Uh-huh. With too many people, too many. Really sleep on the east. Overlook so much history that's been made on these streets. Right, we ain't playing for fun, homie. We playing for down keys. The streets, cruising with the windows open. Words on top of beats, now that's poetry in motion. Uh-huh. Sun across my face, now I'm feeling so gold. Through the highs and lows, it's the life that I've chosen. Waking up, baby, just a little hungover. Still thinking how to come up on the day. How to come up. Tripping how the world's just a little fucked up. But I can't let it push me away. Can't let it push me away. Underground grind, as bars and patience. Uh-huh. Hoping that my next release ain't wasted. Nah. Hoping that the lane for the east is paved in. Golden embraces, waves and wages. Hate to trouble you, fool. But I'm doing more numbers than your W-2. Tax-free pay, double the dues. But no one ever told me about the love that I lose. Damn. Success breeds hate when you win, when they hope that you lose. That's right. But you won't get that much from the wolves, so you better eat fat off your labor and fruits. Off the fruits. Pass the bomb shit. No mid-shelf, too tall for small shit. Get it? Swam my circle, small shit. Gems in my fist like infinity gauntlets. No snappers, just the real and the raw. Keeping on the 25, cruising down the boulevard. Yeah, yeah, walls open, yeah, smoke still in my car. Let's go. Slapping classics, blunts to ashes. One life and that's it. I'm surprised I've lasted. See the sunrise, been up all night, but I'm hyped. But I'm hyped. Tell me why these dark nights always gotta bring so much fucking light to my life. I'm riding in the streets, cruising with the windows open. Words on top of beats, now that's poetry in motion. Sun across my face, now I'm feeling so golden. I celebrate with a little weed and potion. Riding in the streets, cruising with the windows open. Words on top of beats, now that's poetry in motion. Sun across my face, now I'm feeling so golden. I celebrate with a little weed and potion.
Gotta fucking go. Let's go. Got my shoes at.